January, we are celebrating Dr. Montgomery's birthday. If he's been a blessing to you through the teaching and preaching of God's word, let us be a blessing to this great man of God in a tangible way. Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Dr. Montgomery's Cash App is Dr. JEM2, or you can send it to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Thank you for your love and support to this great man of God. Wishing him a very happy birthday.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message.
Message, but Luke 17, beginning at verse 17, and I want you all to read again these three verses, 17, 18, and 19. When you're ready, say amen. Amen. Let's begin reading now. You. You may be seated in the presence of God. Many of us, of course, are familiar with this account of Jesus' healing of the 10 lepers and how they cried for him when he was on his way through to Jerusalem and he passed their way, and they cried for him, and he heard them. And when he heard them, he then moved upon their hearts and situations and told them, go show yourselves to the priest. And they began walking, and as they walked, the word says that they were healed or cleansed. And in the process of that, these 9 Jewish men and this one Samaritan, who was considered a stranger or a foreigner to the Jewish people and faith, and so they all were healed at the same time. But this one man who was not of the Jewish race, who was not of the Jewish customs, who was not of the Jewish faith, he was the only one who had the wherewithal to recognize, if it had not been for the Lord who was on his side, where would he be? Now, leprosy was a terminal cancer, if you will. Those who got leprosy, unless it was a miracle that took place, they would slowly be eaten up by the leprosy. It would, in time, cause them to become deformed. I mean, their skin had become as scaly as a snake and white as snow. It was a agonizing and a debilitating kind of disease, and it literally ate them up from the inside. And so, to the point where bones, fingers, toes literally fell off their bodies as it began to rot and to lose feeling and lose blood flow. And so they were a sight to see. The longer a person had leprosy, the worse off it got. And so Jesus knew their condition and he had mercy on them. And so having had leprosy, whether it was a short while or you were near the point of death, it was an uncomfortable disease. It was a disease that was contagious, and that's why the law made it clear that you had to be 300 feet away from other people because of the contagiousness of that disease. And so if you came in a populated place, you had to cry out leprosy or unclean, unclean, and people would spread out and move away from you because they did not want to catch that dreadful disease. So now, here you've got one man that had the wherewithal to say to the Lord, thank you. He wasn't the only one who was blessed, but he was the only one responsible for him. He was the only one who had to give an account for himself. He couldn't give an account for the others who were with him. As a matter of fact, even though they were together, they had no fellowship together. See, you're gonna learn that just because you're in a crowd don't mean you're in the company. And so even there in their sickness, all bound together, he was still an outcast. And so he was grateful for God doing what he did through Jesus. And when he realized he was healed, he turned around and began giving God glory. But he recognized that God worked through Jesus. So he came back and fell on his face at Jesus' feet and began giving him thanks. Now let me tell you something, because I want you to see, Jesus was so touched by the attitude of thanksgiving that this foreigner, this stranger had, that it impressed upon his heart to ask him two questions. Question number one, were there not 10 men cleansed? Were there not 10? Then the second question was, where are the 9? And I wanna ask this question this morning. Where are the 9? I know it's Thanksgiving weekend, but where are the 9? I know some went to visit family in other places, but where are the 9? I know some of them went to Southern and Grambling's Bayou Classic, but where? I know some of them enjoyed the weekend but couldn't get up this morning and come. Where are the 9? And you've got to recognize that Jesus recognized that no matter who you are, if it's in you to have an attitude of thanksgiving, you're going to be grateful anyhow. You see, he was not a Jew. He was a stranger, a foreigner, a Samaritan. But he had an attitude of thanksgiving. But listen at this. Secondly, and I need you to know, when Jesus asked the question, it was a rhetorical question, because he already knew the answers to that. But it was on his heart so much. So, you know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart doth the mouth speak. So I'm trying to help you understand that those who are ungrateful, unthankful, hurts the heart of Jesus so much that he had to say something about it. Now, not only was it rhetorical because he knew the answer, and that not the other one stranger did not know all of those answers and things. He just knew what Jesus had asked him because he knew this much. He was responsible for himself. Now, let me say a word about this. It does not matter who around you is not grateful, who is not thankful, who will not praise God. You got to think of his goodness to you. You're thanking him for what he's done for you. You're going to have to give an account for what he's done for you. So I can't understand it just because other folk don't understand why you praise him and why you thank him and why you give him glory and why you shout and why you rejoice because of the things he's done for you. And if they ain't got nothing to shout about, that's them. But when God's been good to you, you got to say something. You're redeemed of the Lord. You got to make some noise to let him know you're grateful. You can't praise God with your mouth closed. You can't say thank you to God without an expression. You could say he knows my heart. Yeah, but when you had problems, you sure opened your mouth and said something about him, didn't you? So how much more should you be thankful that he not only heard your prayer, but answered your prayer? And so listen at this. So it was rhetorical, but also it was retrospective. Because look at what Jesus is thinking now. This one foreigner, 9 Jews, he was the only one to turn back and fall down on his face and say thank you. There are 2 other times, Matthew, beginning at Matthew 8:5, where a centurion, a Roman soldier, who had 100 men under his charge, and if he tell them go, they go. If he tell them come, they come. And he had a servant at home sick. And that servant, listen, meant so much to him because he was faithful. And through that servant, no doubt, though the servant was a Jew and he was a Roman, he obviously heard about Jesus through that servant. And so when he had an opportunity to be in the company of Jesus, he went up to Jesus and said, I have a servant at home, sick of the palsy. And Jesus said, I'll come and go and heal him. The man said, oh, no, no, no. Listen, I've seen your works. I see your anointing upon people. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You ain't got to come lay hands on him. You ain't got to put no oil on his head. You ain't got to do nothing but speak it. And I believe the power of your word will reach wherever you direct it to go. And when he began to talk to Jesus like that, Jesus said, my goodness, listen, I have not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. This man was a Roman soldier, an enemy to the Jews. But he had faith in the power of Jesus Christ. And because that faith was so in depth and so instilled in this Roman soldier, that he believed that Jesus could speak it and it would be done. And it was. The second time Jesus said great faith, because he said faith, your faith had made you whole, to almost all of those who demonstrated faith in him. But he's talking about great faith. in Matthew 15, I think, beginning at verse 12, you'll find the story of this Canaanite woman who came to Jesus. Her daughter was possessed with demons, and she asked Jesus to heal her daughter. Jesus didn't say anything to her. He kept on, but the woman was persistent. And she said, Jesus, please heal my daughter. She is sick with the demons possessed. And Jesus, she said, listen. Jesus told her, he said, it's not right for me to give the bread that belonged to the children to dogs. To dogs. The woman said, true, Lord. Y'all missed that right there. I'll be a dog if you want me to be a dog, if it's going to help you heal my daughter. She didn't come with no negative attitude. See, a whole lot of us don't understand. If you come to the Lord asking something of him, you got to come humble, low, and meek. And you got to recognize he has what you need. And you got to humble yourself no matter what he says. You remember when his mother told him that we've run out of wine, we need you to do something. He said, woman, what is that to do with me? Mine hour has not come. She turns around and tells the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And so listen again. So she says, yes, Lord, true. But even the dogs eat the food, the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus said, mine. Again, no greater faith have I seen in Israel. Now, I'm telling you, and let me make it clear in case you missed it. The two times Jesus saw great faith and spoke it and was moved to people, they were not his own people. They were not his own people. What does that say to me? That sometimes other folk who aren't connected with you might not even be your color, might not even be a part of your fellowship, would be more grateful than the people who ought to be grateful to you for all of the things you've done for them. And every time Jesus saw great faith, it was in strangers or foreigners or non-Jewish people. And so, thirdly, not only was it retrospective and not only was it rhetorical, but it was relevant. It was relevant. He had done so much for his people. John 1 and 11 say he came to his own and his own received him not. And my brothers and my sisters, it was relevant then, and that's right, it is relevant now. It appears that the more God blesses us, the more ungrateful we become. The more God lifts us up, the more God heals us, delivers us, sets us free, blesses us, on and on and on. It seems like we become more ungrateful. We can't give him 2 hours on a Sunday when he gives you health and strength to go on that job. If the man tell you come at 3 o'clock in the morning, you'll be there. Yes, sir, Mr. So-and-so, I'll be there. But come Sunday morning, you be like, this is my only day off. God could fix you. He can give you every day off. And ain't nothing wrong with enjoying yourself and experiencing, you know, the pleasures of life that God intended for his people to do it, but not at the cost of forgetting him. Not at the cost of putting those things above him. Not at the cost of not being grateful for all he's done for you. You see, what you've got to recognize is that every blessing God gives to you is a blessing upon which another blessing rests. In other words, where you are today wouldn't be here just because of the day. It's through every day he has brought you through to this day where he has blessed you all the way to this point. And that's why when the old folks say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you, God, because he's worthy. And because of that, this one man was the only man made whole because of his faith. The others got cleansed, but he got made whole. And I keep telling folk all the time that the real blessing is in your connection with the source who's able to do anything but fail. This man did not have to go to the priest in Jerusalem because he was talking to the priest of priests. Jesus told him, no, don't go show yourself to the priest. After he praised God, after he thank Jesus. Jesus told him, go your way. Go your way. They had to do that because, he listened again, they were not grateful to the God who opened that door, blessed them with that deliverance, cleansed them through the Son, Jesus Christ himself, who they called on for mercy. He gave it to them, and not one of them ever said thank you, not even in the beginning when they knew that they had been healed by the word of God. Why? Because they were Jews and they were familiar with his ministry. But here, my brothers and sisters, it's relevant because so many times, you remember, in so many of the things that have happened in our past historically, you couldn't get folk. I mean, it was nowhere to put people in churches. Looked like every church that was, it was packed out, filled out because of trouble. Trouble. When things happen and the church is there to be the beacon of light and to help them and to support them, I mean, you can't put them nowhere. But the moment they get themselves in a place where they're all right, you can't get them to come to church. You can't get them to come back and thank God. And see, what they miss is what has happened once will happen again. And I just thank God that he is long-suffering, that he is merciful. His multitude of mercies is what we need because we have a lapse of memory after God blesses us. We know him before he blesses us. We know him when we're going through. We're knowing when we don't know how to make it out. We know him when we have a desire that only he can meet. We know him when we call on his name, but it's afterwards that the real gratitude shows up and or need to show up, and that's when it does it. It shouldn't be a, well, thank you, Lord, and move on. It should be an attitude of gratitude. They were glad, but not grateful. And most of us are like that today. We are glad when the Lord blesses us. But the gladness don't match the gratitude. Just as glad as you are about God's blessings upon your life should be the spirit of gratitude, of thanksgiving that goes along with it. And it shouldn't have to be that the only time you give him praise and glory is when you're going through some stuff and he brings you out. Every day you wake up, it ought not be a reason on this earth where you can't take a moment and say, thank you, Jesus. You don't realize the angels God has encamped around you. You don't realize what could have happened while you were sleeping. You don't realize all of the demonic powers that were trying to take you out that God's angels kept from causing you the damage and the harm that could have. And when you wake up, all you know is he woke me up and it's a good morning, it's a good day, but it's that way because he made it that way. And we go on about our day and leave him wherever it was. You may have said something to him that morning, but when you have an attitude of gratitude all day, I mean, from one thing to the next, they thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful to God. In your spirit, man, you're grateful to God, and God sees that, and he honors that, and he makes you whole. That's the difference between people who are cleansed, you know, get what they need, get what they want, God blesses them, and they forget about him. And those of us who are made whole and go to God with the assurance and the confidence that whatever we need, our God has got this thing.
You in greetings and that all-powerful, blessing, and healing name of Jesus. This is James Broadnax, founding pastor of the Word of Faith Kingdom Church, located at 4210 South MacArthur Drive here in the city of Alexandria, Louisiana. Yes, a church that is perfecting and edifying the body of Christ. Yes, we believe that everything you need is in the Word of God.